Okay. So the Talmud tells us the following story. The Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin tells us that there was this huge tzaddik we meet in Shmuel and in Melachim and Kings. There's this huge tzaddik named Yeravam ben Nevat, one of the biggest tzaddikim that ever lived. And when all the Jewish people are silenced, they can't say anything because Shlomo HaMelech wakes up late and he opens the temple in the fourth hour of the day, they bring the sacrifice, everything's running late. He's the only one who stands up and says, excuse me, this is not how you run a temple, this is not how you run a people. And he's shaking with fervor as he speaks to Shlomo. And Shlomo HaMelech, when he built a castle for the daughter of Pharaoh, so he closed off the easy access the Jews had to the temple. Because he built that castle, the people had to walk all around their castle and around the mountain to get into the temple. They had easy access. He built her castle exactly where they had access, and now everyone had to go around. The only person who dared say a word to Shlomo was Yeravam ben Nevat. So Yeravam was a huge tzaddik, and he paid a price for it. He had to go into exile. And then, when Shlomo passes away, so he comes back to Israel. There's a prophet who's been around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. His name is Achiah Shiloni. And he comes to Yeravam and he cuts a garment into pieces and he says, take 10. God has said you're going to be the king of the 10 tribes. So Yeravam ben Nevat is instructed to lead a rebellion and he becomes the king of the northern 10 tribes. This is Hashem's decree, that when Shlomo passes away, his son Rechavam will be king only over 2 tribes, the area of Judea, and Yeravam ben Nevat will be king over the northern 10 tribes. Until this point, Yeravam is a tzaddik. Yeravam wakes up in the morning and realizes that I've ceded from the kingdom of Rechavam, but the Jewish people, when they go up to the temple on the holidays, well then, they're going to see that Rechavam's the real king and I'm the fake king. In the temple, Rechavam's allowed to sit down, and I'm not allowed to sit down. Let's say I go up the way I did every year to serve Hashem. Well, when we enter the temple, I'm going to be like a regular citizen. I'm not allowed to sit in the temple. Rechavam is going to sit there like the royal king. And then people will start saying, hey, our real king is Rechavam. I'm going to become a puppet state. I'm going to lose everything. And Yeravam ben Nevat starts losing it. Could be he said to himself, I'm such a tzaddik, I'm such a talmid chacham, it's in the people's interest, I should bend the rules, they should be under me. But once our personal needs get in the way, once our own pride gets in the way, then we could get everywhere. And so Yeravam ben Nevat ultimately erects 2 golden calves, changes the Jewish calendar, and leads the northern 10 tribes to paganism and ultimately to the greatest Holocaust of Jewish history. But when the story begins, Yeravam is a huge tzaddik. Huge, bigger than David HaMelech. Huge. And when Yeravam starts going off the path, he has a dream. And Hashem grabs him by the cloak and says, do tshuva, and you and I and David HaMelech will walk in the Garden of Eden together. Yeravam is told by Hashem, come back. You can still come back and we'll walk together, Hashem says. Me, you, and David. And what does Yeravam ben Nevat answer? Who's first, me or David? And Hashem says, David's first. And then Yeravam answers, then never mind. Then never mind. E hachi, if so, lo baina, then I don't want to do tshuva. There are 2 interesting points. First interesting point is that when Hashem began, Hashem said, it's me, you, and David. The order was very clear that he was first. Yeravam wants to know if he heard correctly. Once he asks the question, Hashem says, no, David's first. The question already brought him down a notch. The fact that he asked the question. But we also see, and this is the recurring theme our sages tell us about Yeravam ben Nevat, the Pasuk says about him, Ve'oti yishlachta achei gavecha, you put me behind your back. Your own honor came before my honor, Hashem says. So Yeravam's pride is what caused him to become the most infamous Jew of Jewish history. It's not clear who we look down upon more, him or Yeshu. When we speak about a Jew that brought the Jewish people to transgression, we have 2 classical examples. Him and Yeshu, there were 2 Jews who brought the world down with them. It's not clear who we look down upon more. the example is Yeravam ben Nevat. It's not so clear that Yeshu in his lifetime intended to develop a movement. He made mistakes. We're not saying he's a wonderful person. But what his intention was in terms of setting up a movement, a whole religion, it's not so clear. He went a pagan path, okay? He had great potential and he went a pagan path. Yeravam ben Nevat intentionally led the Jewish people to idol worship, etc. So it's a hard call. I don't know. But Yeravam ben Nevat loses his portion in the world because of his own arrogance, his own pride. Yeravam doesn't want the title of Baal Tshuva. Yeravam wants to know who's first. In other words, says Rav Charlap, will I be considered the top tzaddik? Will they look at me and say, he's tops? Will they look at me and say, you know what, he was a tzaddik all along? Or will I have to say, I was wrong and now I did tshuva? Will I be looked at as a Baal Tshuva? And what does Hashem tell him? Ben Yishai's first, David's first. Meaning, David will get that title. That's what we say today. The Talmud says, anyone that says David held on to his transgression is making a mistake. Wait, but we know David made a mistake. Right. No one's saying he did right with Bathsheba. No one's saying he did right with having Uriah killed. But he did tshuva. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim over and over again how he held his transgression in front of him. He did action upon action to do his tshuva and recorded it. He's not hiding it. He says, I'm wrong. I have to do tshuva. And he works on it. So David's greatness is that his honor isn't first. Hashem's honor is first. And that means tshuva to him is not a shame, but on the contrary, it's a badge of pride. What is Yeravam answer? He says, I'm not interested. What's going on here? Says Rav Charlap, Yeravam ben Nevat revealed to us where we all stand. We look at Yeravam's answer and we say, what a chutzpah. Says Rav Charlap, no. It's a human weakness. Everyone refuses on some level to do tshuva. Why? Well, all of existence has this false pride, where we limit ourselves to ourselves. Says Rav Charlap, we have limitations, but if we would recognize how great tshuva is, that tshuva allows us to break our boundaries, to outgrow ourselves, then we would attach ourselves to tshuva. But rather a person says, but I'm this, and I want to be this, and I don't want to say I'm wrong, and I don't want to look back and say I'm wrong, and I don't want people to say about me that I'm wrong. All the arrogance that Yeravam ben Nevat expressed, says Rav Chalav, is a global human weakness. It's not unique to Yeravam. In Yeravam we see how tragic it was. But the truth is, it's a tragedy of existence. What do we have to do, says Rav Chalap? We have to start appreciating how great tshuva is. Not to look down at tshuva, to look up at tshuva. When we look at the world, there's a world of potential through tshuva. Tshuva being the goal. Tshuva being the tool through which we can outgrow our own boundaries. When we analyze and learn, when we internalize a true appreciation of tshuva, then we could grow within tshuva. And that's where our sages say in Tractate Avodah Zarah, the only reason the Jewish people transgressed with the golden calf was to open up the gates of tshuva, so that people would understand what tshuva is. So Rav Chalap is opening a concept, and he says, you see, Chazal were willing to say that one of the most heinous moments of world history, after such closeness, the Kalas at the chuppah, And he just engaged her. And when he turns his back, she, under the chuppah, she turns to a lover and she's going to hug him and kiss him. He turns around and says, you're with him? Her old boyfriend is there. He turned his back. They just got married. And the chassan turns one way and she turns to her old boyfriend and she's making out with him. So the chassan turns around and says, excuse me, how could I stay married to you? We're at Sinai. We're eating the man. We take the man. We feed it to this golden calf. We're back to worshipping the idol we worshipped in Egypt. It's one of the most heinous moments of our history. And the Gemara says it was there so that we would understand how great Tshuva is. This takes us back to the beginning of what we discussed today, the greatness of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We're suddenly taught, hey, look at what you can do. Even after such a terrible thing, you can still rebuild. Not you can, you should. Not you should, this was the purpose of your coming to the world. You came to school today in order to learn something. You learned something. Ah, so Chazal were willing to have, or Chazal taught us that Hashem was willing to have, such a terrible moment in Jewish history, so that we would have an appreciation for the greatness of Tshuva. Says Rav Chalap, that's at the root of building our lives. The appreciation of the greatness of Tshuva. Through that, we can grow into Tshuva and making the world a better place.